has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It's the Taco Tuesday, August the 8th, 2023 edition of the Best Stocks Now show. And the title of today's show is You Never Know What You're Going to Wake Up To. All right. That's just a truism in the market. And we are waking up to bad news out of China, bank downgrades. And pretty much everything is down except for the weight loss drugs. They're up. Okay. We'll talk about those in a minute. Not only are they up, they're soaring. We talked about them yesterday. And we have one of the biggest winners in the market today. I wonder what it would be up if it were not for the NASDAQ being down 163 right now. Oh, that's 1.2%. We're back to 13,833 after a pretty good day in the market yesterday. The Dow was up 407 yesterday. Well, it's giving up most of that today. It's down 358. It's at 35,114. The S&P is down 41. That's 0.9%. It's at 44.77. Crude oil down $1.46. Of course, China in good times uses a lot of crude oil. The small caps are down 1.5%. Gold is down. Everything's down. Gold's down $9.1961. Silver is down 40 cents, 22.83. The 10-year is down 9 basis points. It's under 4 again, which we said was going to happen. It's at 3.98% today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And it's like I've said many times before, you never know on a daily basis what you're going to wake up to. And on the one hand, that makes the market very interesting because it's different every day. But on the other hand, some of those days not so good. Today, one of those days, okay, with Dow down 360, NASDAQ up 165. How soon we forget yesterday's gains, like they've evaporated. You had the Dow up 407 yesterday on strength in Boeing, and you had the S&P up 40, and you had the NASDAQ up 85 yesterday. But today is a new day. It's a different day, and what is at the core of it? What's got the market in a grumpy mood? And, boy, let me tell you, this weight loss drug story is a huge story, pardon the pun.
You said Taco Tuesday, and I was thinking, I wonder if you'll even want Taco Tuesday.
Nah, not if you take a Wegovy in the morning or a Mounjaro. You'll say, carne asada, birria, warning signs flash for China's economy amid deflationary pressure. How about that? The last time we heard the word deflationary was from Kathy Wood at ARK Funds when right before inflation really took off. She said the bigger problem is the deflation. Well, she was wrong, but hey, who's counting?
Well, in there, it's more of the problem is it's a demand-driven issue. Just in terms of, I saw something, their imports were down, 12, forget which, on the export or import.
Oh, yeah,
the other
big
were
time.
Down, one was down 12%, and the other one, I think, was down 4% or so.
Yeah, double digits. 2023 was the year that China's economy was supposed to come roaring back, like the U.S. economy did, right? I mean, China ended their zero COVID policy, but all of the indicators are pointing in the opposite direction. Data has shown slowing growth and soaring youth unemployment. I read that their youth unemployment, 25%, something
large,
like that.
Large, which is never, you know, for any, you know, any is never a healthy thing for any government, by the way, to have, you know, 25% of your youth unemployed, which, you know, tends to,
yeah.
over the years, has tended to been the high chance of regime change, right?
And well, you know, normally, you know, revolutions in countries like this happen during bad times, not during
right.
good times.
Yeah.
So who knows where China is headed, but I don't think she will put up with any uprisings, which there may be some. The latest data showed that Chinese exports suffered their worst fall since the start of the pandemic. Now, just by coincidence, I was reading our local paper yesterday, the Charleston Post-Courier, and it was talking about how the port activity at our port is going to slow down. And they were kind of warning about, you know, possible layoffs at the port. And so now here you see it on the other side of the senders
right.
of these ships
mm-hmm.
and the receivers of these ships. There's definitely something going on there. The latest data showed that Chinese exports suffered their worst fall since the start of the pandemic, and that deflation, that means prices falling, may be a bigger problem than previously imagined. Anyways, they have their producer price index have gone into a tailspin. What's happening? Well, China exited zero COVID when rising global inflation had already dented demands for its exports. Okay, so yeah, their exports got hit.
They're off cycle. Essentially.
They're on the wrong end of the cycle.
Yeah.
And so anyways, the PBOC, the People's Bank of China, has even cut interest rates to encourage consumption, but further stimulus may be challenging given China's big debt problem. I didn't really know that China had a big debt problem. They don't really advertise that,
yeah,
do they?
Yeah, and they do it, and certainly, you know, they've got, you know, on the real estate side, they've got a lot of kind of things they need to work through. Of course, time would be their friend, right? You know, working through those issues. But, I mean, they still have the, you know, remember the kind of, you know, ghost cities, right? I mean, there was a lot of, you know, money spent on, you know, buildings that are, you know, not even, may not have any residents.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah, somebody has to, somehow that has to get unwound, right, and righted. But, yeah, they have a lot of, you know, shadow financing, right?
Yeah.
Remember the old shadow banking in China?
It,
a lot of that stuff still, you know, exists, or is at least, you know, debts owed at some point.
There's a big correlation here between their crackdown on the private sector. They have cracked down on Ant Group and on Alibaba and food delivery services. I think it's because they want a cut of the pie, right? That's what I'm thinking. And they've continued to fine these companies, and that has hurt their private sector. It's left the private sector reeling. So, you know, I mean, you amp up the regulations, and that kills, that hurts badly the private sector. And China is a perfect example of that. China's trade surplus plunged to $80 billion from 100. In other words, they were exporting $100 billion more than they were importing. That dropped to just $80 billion, their trade surplus, this month. That's a huge drop. That's a 25% drop. And imports to China dropped by 12.4%.
Yeah, that's what was, you know, also, you got to think all of the companies that, you know, nowadays sell into China. Also, we think of a lot of getting things from China, but, you know, that's a, you know, they're you know, global firms, right? Sell into them, and so that's you know, that also those ripple effects are, you know,
well, that's going to ripple through right? Tesla. It's going to ripple through Apple. It's going to ripple through Ford. It's going to ripple through a lot of U.S. companies that sell to China. So anyways, that's the biggest reason. That's reason number one why you've got all of a sudden the market reeling here on its back feet today. But there is another one here that we'll get to when we come back. But, you know, it just goes to show we are in a highly connected world economy. You know, when I can go fishing and pass by giant freighters coming into the port from China. Yeah. Yes, we're connected, okay, whether we like it or not. And all of those containers full of goods going to Walmart and Home Depot and Lowe's and wherever else. A hiccup now, it used to be a hiccup in the U.S. caused a depression around the world. Now you've got a hiccup in China the other way around. And we'll see what kind of impact that has on the global economy. I got to believe a pretty decent impact. So anyways, we'll start to see some companies maybe warning that the slowdown in China is hurting their earnings and sales, whatever. We'll be on high alert. When we come back, we'll talk about the second reason why the market is selling off. And then just the phenomenal good news from a couple of big U.S. global drug makers, actually, when we come back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I'd like to say the market's gotten better, but it hasn't. It's gotten, if anything, a little bit worse. The Dow's down 452. Let's not forget it was up 407 yesterday, but easy come, easy go. The Nasdaq's now down 195 to 13,800. Okay, the second reason, Moody's downgrades U.S. banks on funding risk. They're basically pointing to, you know, the assets that the banks hold. Remember, Silicon Valley owned all those long-term treasuries, and with all the with interest rates going back up over 4% recently, that lowers the value. So you've got to keep those reserves up, and that was one of the reasons.
And Fitch's downgrade of U.S. debt didn't help. And
no,
that actually pushed up long-term rates, which not good for some of those long-term bonds or that are on the balance sheets at those banks, which was the issue, here in March, right when you had the Treasury above 4% or so.
Now, the downgrades were M&T Bank, Pinnacle Financial Partners, Old National Bank Corp, U.S. Bank Corp, Bank of Mellon, State Street, Truist. These were all the ones that were under fire during the Silicon Valley Bank, pretty much. Cullen Frost, Northern Trust, Capital One, PNC Financial, and Fifth Third Bank Corp. So they all had their credit their credit rating lowered by Moody's, okay? First it was S&P that lowered the U.S. debt. That was 11, 12 years ago. And then it was Fitch that lowered U.S. debt. Now it's Moody's that's downgrading individual
right.
companies. Now, okay, now let's go to the other side of the street where it's a little bit sunnier. I think personally that the Fed is going to say, I don't know if we should be hiking rates in this environment right now. It seems to me like the Fed will stand pat. I don't know what the odds are right now, what the probability is, but I would be very surprised if the Fed were to hike rates. The market has gone from a very, very undervalued market at the beginning of the year. And I put up the yellow flag about 2 weeks ago. That's what they do at the Indianapolis 500 when there's a little bit of oil on the track or some gasoline or a rack that they got to clear. And the oil on the track for me right now is the valuation of the overall market at 19.5 times earnings when we began the year at 17 times earnings. So therefore, I mean, we're driving now under a yellow flag. That does not mean, however, there are not stocks, but you've got to just be putting in a lot of time and looking and looking and looking, and also be on top of the ones that you currently own. Now, J.P. Morgan's Marko Kalanovich, who is a perma bear, he never comes out of hibernation.
I saw that quote. I saw that.
Even a bear comes out of hibernation once in a while. He's adopting a more defensive stance. Well, that's like saying, you know, we're going from defense to they're already defensive. They're getting more defensive. But he's been bearish throughout the year, let's not forget. He's missed the big gain in the market. So he started the year defensive, he was wrong, and now he's getting more defensive. Well, okay, that's Marko Kalanovich, our buddy at J.P. Morgan.
Well, and along the lines of what you said, just in terms of the Fed, we have a couple of Fed speakers talking this morning, and Harker actually mentioned, I think that's a Philly Fed president, but actually mentioned that they're, you know, to a point, essentially to a point where they may be able to, basically hold steady for a while. I think the quote was, should we be at a point where we can hold steady, we will need to be there for a while. So essentially, like you said, keeping rates, not raising rates is one thing, but, also how long do you keep rates, elevated where they're at the moment? So that's also in the toolbox. So it's not like you have to raise right at every meeting. So.
Now, the other thing is, I've always said, choose your gurus wisely. Kalanovich has been wrong way more than he's been right. Here's the quote I like. This defensive stance is not played out. And as a result, we've suffered a significant loss in our model portfolio year to date, given the strong rally in equities and credit. So he was dead wrong about the market here so far this year. So, I mean, to say that you're going even more defensive at this point in time, you know what? You don't have a lot of credibility with me anyways. Yes, I agree that it's time to have a more defensive posture. You shouldn't be throwing money at the AI stocks here at this point in time. By the way, the new AI stock is Disney. They are forming a task force to evaluate AI opportunities. Well, if they could shorten those lines through AI somehow, I'd be happy.
I was thinking they might be removing the illustrators.
You know what? Listen, that's a big deal, and that's part of this strike in Hollywood. When you can write a text and AI will generate the video, when you can have AI write songs for you, scripts for you, that's a major, major challenge to the screenwriters, to the illustrators, to the everybody, So AI, and of course, these studios are always looking for ways to reduce costs. So I do think that in the long run, AI is going to cost a lot of jobs. Look, my father was a billboard painter. He painted billboards by hand with oil paints, giant portraits of the Marlboro Man. And now it's done, God bless my father, my late father. Now it's done by computer-driven laser printers, right, that can even print the biggest billboards in the world. They don't need artists anymore. And, the unions can fight it. I remember my dad telling me that when they came along with the paint roller, they used to brush everything. When they came along with the paint roller, the unions fought it, You can fight it, but eventually, how many jobs have been lost because of advances in technology? And the writers, the actors, the music, people that write the music, they're all looking for some kind of protection from AI. And I don't know that they're going to get it.
It's no different than when CGI took over, over some of the, old ways of doing special effects, right, where you'd make models and do all this, right? And then, of course, next thing you know, you're making, dinosaurs on,
Well, and you go back to the old movies, all of the backdrop scenery was hand-painted.
Oh, yeah.
And not anymore, okay. the artist. In fact, most of these museum or art stores now, everything is digital paintings. Okay, huge news from two of the biggest weight loss drug maker wannabes when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Back here to the final or the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Okay, let's turn to healthcare. Undoubtedly, one of the biggest healthcare issues that we have in the world, America today, is being overweight. We have it too good, I guess you could say, that brings about a lot of health problems. The underlying problem is being overweight, okay? And being overweight, obviously, is very hard on your cardiovascular system. Just ask any heart doctor, heart surgeon, about the linkage there. Not in every case, but your incident of heart disease goes way up if you're carrying too much weight. All right. Novo Nordisk, NVO, which is out of Denmark. I wrote about Novo Nordisk. I wrote a book in 2013 called Best Stocks Now. Imagine that. And I chose 53 stocks at that time, and one was Novo Nordisk because it's the king of diabetes. They are the premier diabetes stock in the world. But now, they found out that this diabetes drug, semaglutide, their weight loss therapy, the retail name of it, the market counter name of it is Wegovy, led to a 20% reduction in adverse cardiovascular events in a phase 3 trial for obese or overweight adults with cardiovascular disease. That is huge. A 20% reduction in adverse. Now, think back to Fenfen, which Fenfen was around the year 2000. It caused cardiovascular events because they added another drug to it. I had someone explaining this to me over the weekend who's an expert in these weight loss drugs because he was involved, his company that he worked for at the time was involved in Fenfen. And now he's been a biotech CEO of some pretty good biotechs, over the years. He's still very active in the industry. And he was telling me these weight loss drugs are like miracle drugs, and it's going to really help with the healthcare system. So anyways, if you can lose weight and cut heart disease risk by 20%, okay, so what's the reaction to the stock today? NVO. Now, let's go to our premier growth portfolio. Our premier growth portfolio only has 19 stocks in it. That's it. Those are the all-stars. That's our all-star team that we field there. We felt like Novo Nordisk was one of the best stocks in the world to be in that lineup. And it's a big position here, and NVO. It's not only in the premier growth portfolio, but it pays a dividend yield. It pays just under 1%, pays 0.7%. So it's also in our dividend and growth portfolio, one of only 17 stocks. So you can see how, you know, we really narrowed down. We're not interested in Merck. We're not interested in Bristol-Myers. We're not interested in Johnson & Johnson. I mean, what's the last innovative products they came up with for whatever reasons? Now, I'm sure there are a lot of these other companies are going to get on the weight loss train. But Novo Nordisk, you know, they have a drug out there now that's being prescribed, Wegovy. And so, anyways, that's a landmark trial and lowering heart disease. The stock is up 20% right now. That's a big move. This is a half a trillion dollar company, Barry. This, well, not quite, $422 billion. And we had a discussion about this yesterday on the show.
Right, and Lilly is, you know, kind of their closest competitor, and I think Lilly's up, last time I checked, was up over 8% or so. So those are kind of the two, you know, that you mentioned just, I think it was just yesterday, right?
Yesterday. And we bought it, you know, we bought Novo Nordisk quite a while ago. So Novo is up $26 a share today on this news, which is a 16.3%. It was up almost 20%, one-fifth in one day. Now, we talked about our loser, our big loser last Friday. Well, doggone it, we're also going to talk about our fake winner here. And owning it in both portfolios makes it a very large position at our firm. Okay. Now, secondly, Eli Lilly reported earnings today. And I said yesterday, I said Lilly's drug. Now, I was told Lilly's drug is even better than Novo. Their drug is Mounjaro. And look at Lilly today. Oh, my gosh. Up 17.8% and getting stronger by the minute. Not only did they report earnings, they boosted their full-year guidance ahead of expectations as its new product portfolio will be led by diabetes therapy Mounjaro, which now is also a weight loss drug. So Lilly, based out of Indianapolis, the pride of Indianapolis, reported $8.3 billion in revenue. That's some pretty good growth, that growth for Lilly. And they reported earnings that beat estimates. But the future looks bright for Lilly. They have they have Mounjaro waiting to be approved as a weight loss drug. So there are two of the best drug companies that are still growth stocks. Now, unfortunately, a lot of these big pharma, their growth has gone by the wayside many years ago. They have to keep the pipeline full of coming up with new things because, if anything, it's an industry that eventually loses out to the generics, right?
Right, yeah.
So this is big news on both of these stocks. You know, I came within an eyelash of buying Lilly yesterday to add a second weight loss drug. And I said, you know, I've got one. Let's just see how this goes. And I'm happy. I mean, I'm happy that Novo is having a big day today. It's up 20%, 19, 16, 17%. But I wish I had gone ahead and bought Lilly. Now, one of the reasons for being overweight is restaurant brands. Here's the opposite side.
Nice segue.
They are good for Lilly's business. Eat up. You know, go to Tim Hortons, go to Burger King, go to Popeyes, and go to Firehouse Subs and have a good time. Well, I don't think you're even going to want it. From what I'm told, these drugs just kill your appetite.
You won't even want to eat anything.
Ah, man. You know, what about on Friday? What if I don't take it on Friday so I can go out and have a nice fish and chips or whatever? Restaurant brands is another one that is a big position here because it also pays a dividend. So we think enough of it to own it in our premier growth and our dividend and growth portfolio. Restaurant brands pays a dividend, not a big dividend. 2.9%, that's pretty big. But we like it mostly for the guy who came on board recently, maybe a year ago, Patrick Doyle, who turned around Domino's Pizza from really kind of flat on their back to the leading pizza chain in the world today, restoring their leadership role. Well, I like what I see at Restaurant Brands. I was looking at the individual franchises. Their growth was 11% at Tim Hortons. It was 10.2% at Burger King. It was 6.3% at Popeye. And Firehouse Subs continues to lag at 2.1. But we read recently.
Yeah, they just signed some deal. I want to say
worldwide, right?
Yeah.
With
yeah,
some country.
Switzerland. I want to say it was Switzerland or
no,
or
it was
Austria.
Bigger than that. It was a bigger I can't remember which, but it was a big country in Europe, and they're going to expand with that brand. So anyways, this is a good report. This stock would be up more today were it not for a yucky market, and it was up more. It's still up, even to be up on a day like this. Now, Restaurant Brands has 30,000 restaurants under these four names, and look, they need a turnaround. I mean, Burger King has lost its luster, and then let's not forget there's a little one that is a Burger King franchise. We call it Burger King Jr. Taste, Carol's Restaurant, T-A-S-T,
T-A-S-T. Right.
And it's up 7% today. So despite a bad day, we still have something to smile about. So what's moving the markets today? What's underneath? What lies beneath? We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go and do what you want to do.
Welcome back to the final segment of the never a dull moment in the stock market day to day on this 8th of August, 2023, a day when China says, wow, or when the world looks at China and says, man, you guys, you're not roaring back from COVID lockdowns. In fact, if anything, things are going the other way in China and getting worse with rising unemployment for the youth. You've got deflationary pressure. You've got their exports dropping considerably. And that's what's got the market nervous today, along with downgrades of about 10 banks. Credit downgrades. These are credit downgrades on these banks, which is going to make it more expensive for them to borrow money, you know, to keep their reserves up and hit their profit margins. And this comes from Moody's. But on the other side of the coin, you've got this remarkable news today. Who's the biggest winner in the S&P 500 today? Lilly. Lilly up 17%. The word of the day. There's two. Mounjaro. M-O-U-N-J-A-R, which I believe, isn't Mounjaro already? It's on the market, right? People are taking it.
It is, right. And I think that a lot of these drugs have been kind of repurposed, right?
Yes, exactly.
So,
and it's this common ingredient, you know, semaglutide, that seems to be the magic that just kills your appetite. So... Okay,
Lilly's flying. I mean, that's what, like you said. They were
for a big stock
earlier. They were up 8%, and now they're up 16 or so.
Exactly, or higher, and so. You know, they were up 8% on the Novo Nordisk news. Okay, and then they reported earnings.
Right, yeah.
And the conference call went really well too. And now it's up 17%. That is a huge move.
Did you know they were founded in 1876?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yep, Lilly has been around. Eli.
Yeah.
Eli's coming. And I thought they were in the Dow, but they're not. So it's a good day for the drug stocks. You know who else has got something going on? I got to look into it. it could be a weight loss, is Amgen. You know, Amgen has not really had anything innovative. They forever lived off of their blood stock. I can't think of the name, or their blood drug. I can't think of the name of it right now. But now they're starting to perk up. That's a low PE stock, too. That's another thing these drug stocks have going for them. Low PE, but just because it's low PE, I want a full pipeline.
For, yeah. Sometimes it's a low PE for a reason.
A good reason. Like, you know, some of them just have not, Bristol-Myers have not had anything really new. Johnson & Johnson, they've had nothing but trouble, Johnson
yeah,
& some Johnson.
Lawsuits, right, yeah.
And
legacy
but
cost.
You've always got in any sector of the, it's no different than the semiconductor sector. The semiconductor sector, you've got NVIDIA and AMD, and everybody else is a distant runner up. And in the pharmaceuticals, in today's world, okay, I mean Pfizer had a major hit, obviously, but it was kind of a temporary thing with the COVID vaccine. But Lilly and Novo Nordisk have something that could turn out. Now, all right. Now, the magnitude of the weight loss. This is another. This comes from the studies, but we were talking about this. Our discussion. I had a discussion with a friend of mine who's a biotech CEO. He said 26% weight loss is the average in 1 year. 26. So, okay, take your current weight. Multiply it by 0.74, and that's what you'd be at the end of the year. But you wouldn't have no desire, I guess, for a sub, you know, whatever. Loaded, like, the worst pizza.
I want to know, does it give you as much satisfaction, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's one thing to reduce my appetite. It's another, like, you know, when I do eat that, I'm just like, oh, it, like, now I eat like my, you know,
yeah.
Now I eat my, like, my youngest son or something.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, we sit at the dinner table for 2 hours.
Yeah. So 26%, that's significant. So if you weigh, let's just say you got someone really obese, 500 pounds, man, they'd lose 140, 130, 125 pounds. They'd go from 500 to 375. Someone at 300 would go down to 225. That's significant.
I mean, we're not physicians, but yeah, when you're talking, I mean, you're talking about all the, you know, under, you know, weight, and just in terms of, you know, being the underlying cause of lots of different things, right? And so that's where, you know, that's where you can kind of, as the, gives you some pricing power on the drug side, because, you know, even a insurance company may be willing to cover, right, a higher-priced drug simply because it has these other benefits.
Now, right? I asked him what the pricing. He says about 30 to 40 grand
a
year.
Yeah, it's expensive. And some don't cover it. I mean, I saw something in, you know, in London and England where they were only going to, I think, would only cover it for a year and a half or 2 years or what have you. And then when folks got off of it, right, they were beginning, you know, kind of, you know, getting back heavier again, right? So the question was, what's the, you know, what's the time frame? Is it an ongoing thing?
But this
or what?
Could have a massive influence, impact on our society, really.
Well, in healthcare
and the
costs,
whole healthcare system, you know, you get into foot problems, arthritis, back problems, this all kinds of problems caused from carrying too much weight. Well, anyways, I hope I didn't make everybody feel guilty out there for they're probably setting aside their donuts right now, you know. No, I don't know. I don't need this donut. Well, anyways, this is a big deal. You've got two stocks, massive news today, both of them up almost 20% because of very similar. It sounds like they come from the same compound.
Yeah, they're up 20%, and the chance of cardiovascular disease down 20%.
Down 20%.
Right?
That's a good thing. We're happy to be invested in heavily in Novo Nordisk.
Right.
And on the other side of the coin, I mean, everybody needs a Whopper now and again.
That's called diversification.
That's diversifying your portfolio, or a Firehouse Sub, or a Popeye's Chicken Basket. Restaurant brands that, you know, we're in that one for a while because we see a several-year turnaround play there. All right, we're having a lot of fun here today. If you'd like to join the fun, give us a call at 855-611-BEST. Get the newsletter, 2 free weeks with the portfolios and what's in them and how they're doing this year at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.